Well, good morning. It is such a delight and a blessing to have you all with us, and to all the family and friends of those getting baptized. We just thank you for being here. It's an honor to have you, and I know your family is honored and excited for you to join in with us this morning, and we're just grateful to be able to celebrate this day together. And so I'm going to ask you to turn to the book of Acts. I want to talk to you for a few moments about and tell you a true story. It is a story about baptism. Acts chapter 16 in God's Word. And if you're new to the Bible, there's the Old Testament and the New Testament. If you go to the New Testament, a little over halfway through, you'll find the book of Matthew and Mark and Luke and John, and then the book of Acts. Chapter 16. Before we read the scripture, because we're going to kind of jump right into the middle of the story. Again, this is a true story that we are about to read. And a godly man who was a preacher named the Apostle Paul, and he had a ministry assistant named Silas, who was also a preacher. And they are preaching about Jesus and preaching the good news and preaching about hope and help that comes from God's Son. And people get mad about it. And they take them and they throw them into prison. And they said, you are not going to talk and preach about Jesus. People's lives were being changed, people's lives and families and marriages and teenagers. And in fact, this is about a young girl whose life was changed and people didn't like it. And so we jump right into the story in verse 23 of Acts chapter 16. It says, "And when they had laid many stripes on them," that means they beat this good godly man up, "they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge," such a command, "he put them into the inner prison and he fastened their feet in the stocks." That means they wrapped them and they locked them down in chains inside a prison. Would you bow with me and let's pray before we read the rest of the story. Father, thank you for this day. This is the day that you have made and we're rejoicing and we are glad in it. We thank you, Lord, for the mighty work of redemption and salvation and forgiveness and hope and joy and peace that you have brought to so many lives, and that will be evident today. And I pray, Lord, that you would use this scripture today in this true story to open the eyes of those, Lord, who are hurting and who've come into this place today to support a loved one, but Lord, they themselves, they need help. They need hope. And I pray today that there would be, Lord, just a spirit of gratitude and thanksgiving for how you've changed these lives today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. First thing, I want to just show you a few pictures in this story. The first thing we see is chains. We just talked about it. Paul and Silas, they are preaching the good news. That is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ, God's Son, came to die on the cross for our sins, to pay for our sins. He was buried and he rose again. So they're out there preaching this, and some people didn't like it. And so they caught them, they beat them up, and they threw them in prison, and then they locked them down in chains. And some of you have come into this place today feeling chained down, truth be told. You look nice on the outside, and maybe you've put on a dress today, or maybe you've put on your best jeans, or maybe you've put on your good t-shirt, and you're in here today, and you've got a smile on. But truth be told, behind the veil, there is incarceration of your mind and your soul and your spirit, and you feel draped in chains. And everywhere you go and everything you do, and on tomorrow morning when you wake up, you hear the clinging and the clanging of darkness or depression or self-destruction, and you just feel this restriction in your life. You feel chained down and you want out. But thankfully, in this story, the story is not over. And I want you to look at verse 25. It says, "But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were loosed." The next picture we see is absolute chaos. You just think about it. If you're locked down in chains,
How many of you, just out of curiosity, I can see you, how many of you have ever experienced an earthquake before? Would you just raise your hand? Okay, there's a handful of you. I experienced an earthquake. We were having a basement dug out of our house, and we just had like a crawl space, so some guys came and they put like, it looked like Jenga blocks. And they jacked our house up, and then they put four beams. And as I was going through the house one day, it was completely, it wasn't touching the ground. It was just set. They were going to put a basement and a foundation and then new walls up. And so as I'm walking through the house, an earthquake took place in West Virginia. And we got the tremors. And all of a sudden, I'm walking through my house. It's not touching the ground. It's only on four beams on all these Jenga blocks. And all of a sudden, my whole house started doing this. There were no, before that happened, everything, they said you might have cracks in the walls or your windows might be tight. Everything was perfect. And when those tremors came through, it disrupted and it was chaos through my house. And still to this day, you can see cracks in our ceiling of what that earthquake did. It's chaos. In this jail, the doors have broken off the hinges. The chains have loosed. It's a miracle of God. And it's chaos. And things have been shaken up. And God did the shaking. And some of you today just might experience the power of God shake things up in your life. And that's what happened for Paul and Silas. But for this jailer, this guy who was in charge, it was chaos. And then let's look at the next picture. He thinks it's curtains. Look at verse 27. And the keeper of the prison, awaking from sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. He was about to end his own life. This jailer thought it was all over. Curtains. We're done. I'm done. See, because he was responsible. He was the authority. Kids, he was the one in charge. He was the boss of the jail. And he had lost absolute control of the situation. And now it seems all of the inmates, he thought they had all fled and escaped. And the punishment for him for not keeping them incarcerated was he himself was going to be beaten and then persecuted, and then his superiors would have punished him by taking his life. And so in a moment of absolute desperation, this man grabs his sword and he's going to end his own life. I have talked to four people in the past few weeks, two of which are going to be baptized today, who said, my life was absolute or is absolute misery. I am lost, I am in absolute darkness, or I am completely hopeless. And I decided that the best option was just to end it all. And in a moment of brokenness, and right at the last second, right on the very edge of them contemplating, I don't feel like it's worth it anymore. Right at that moment, God began to shake things up. And God stepped in. And for many of you, he stepped in through an invite. For some of you, just this Easter, you're back today because God stepped into the darkness and his light shined through a friend of yours or a family member or a coworker, and they said, hey, why don't you just come to church with me today? And some of you today are here today simply because of an invite. And I've heard testimony after testimony of people saying in the deepest, darkest, coldest, blackest hell on earth that I could experience, God's light cut through the darkness. Right in the middle of the chaos, right when I felt like I was chained down, right when I thought it was curtains and all over. And God came in and God came through and I didn't take my life. And you're here today. And that's some of your story. And the good thing today, ladies and gentlemen, is the story is still not over. The story's not over. I want you to look at verse 28 of Acts 16. This man was about to take his life, but the apostle Paul called out with a loud voice saying, "Do yourself no harm, for we are all here." We're all here. Then he called. The jailer called for a light, ran in, and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" So they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. This man thought it was curtains, but the Bible this morning tells us it was actually conception. What this jailer thought was his most bad day turned out to be his birthday. What he thought was the absolute worst day of his life turned into the most wonderful day of his life. What he thought was curtains was actually his conception. And I'm here to tell you this morning that God can save your life. He can make you new. He can give you new life. He can give you a new heart. He can give you a new start. He can give you a new beginning. He can heal your life. He can heal your brokenness. He can heal you. He can fill your emptiness. He can mend your wounds. He can put salve on your scars. He can forgive you of your past. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, "If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new." Jesus in the Gospel of John is talking to a man late at night. This man comes to him secretly. His name is Nicodemus. He comes to Jesus under the cover of night because he was a religious leader. He went to the religious schools or the seminaries. He had the education, and yet there was something beating in his heart that said, "Something's not right. Something's not right when I get around Jesus, when I get around the people of God. Something is not right. I'm religious, but something is dark. I am lost." And so he goes to Jesus because he didn't want to ruin his reputation. So he goes at night, Nick at night, and Nick goes and finds Jesus. And what did Jesus tell him? He said, "Nicodemus, no one, unless you are born again, no one can see the kingdom of God." And every one of you here this morning have been born physically by water through a mom and a dad. But God says you need to be born spiritually through the Spirit of God. And you must be born again, and God has to change your heart, and you must repent and confess you are a sinner and confess Jesus as Lord and trust that he gave his life and was buried and rose again. And so this man believes in Jesus Christ, and he has a spiritual conception. He is born again. And then the next picture we see, look at verse 33. We see that he is cleansed. He was dirty. He was broken. And now verse 33 says, "And then the jailer took Paul and Silas the same hour of night and washed their stripes. And immediately he and all his family were baptized." There's a young lady here this morning that has been thrilled because her older sister is getting ready to be baptized in a few moments. And she has asked her sister repeatedly, "Hey, when are you getting baptized?" I like that, Kinsley. It's like my sister Marcy. Every time we'd go down south for vacation, she'd say, "Mom and Dad, when are we going on cavation?" And today we're going to have some baptisms. And it's going to be a sign that these people standing up here today have been cleansed and washed in the blood of the Lamb. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 7 says, "In Jesus we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace." I gave my life to Jesus as best I understood at 5 years of age. And I repented of my sins and I trusted Christ as best as a five-year-old little boy could with the truth that I understood. And I meant it. But I am 45 years of age. And 40 years later, I'm so grateful that the old story never grows old. Because it's true. And what is true lasts. And I can just tell you, girls and boys, and teenagers, and moms and dads, and grandmas and grandpas, when you have experienced the redemption of Christ and His blood, and you've been washed clean, and you know there's nothing you're capable of doing to save yourself, and you throw all of your heart and all of your life, and as the great commandment says, you shall love the Lord with all of your heart, and with all of your soul, and with all of your mind, and with all of your strength. There's nothing like it. Carrie would testify, my wife, it's better than ice cream. It's better than the beach. It's better than the mountains. It's better than a new car. It's better than a new house. Well, I'm amidst friends. I love you guys. But friends come and go. Grandmas and grandpas die. Children move on. But the Bible says, Jesus Christ, Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He does not change. His salvation is good. His salvation is enough. His blood can wash away your sin. You say, you have no idea what you're talking about. I have a wrecked past. I'm a mess. Jesus takes messes and makes them messages. Jesus takes messes and makes them miracles. He is God. He is able. The Bible says, now to him that is able to do exceeding, Ephesians 3:20, exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. And you've come in here this morning with your thoughts and with your plan, but the book of Isaiah says, God said, my thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways. And he is capable and able to make you new and to save you and redeem you through the... Oh, his riches are unlimited. They are bottomless. And his well never runs dry. And then the last picture we see, there were more, but I cut it short. The last picture we see is cheer. Look at verse 34. And after they were baptized, he had the jailer brought them into his house and he fed them. They were hungry. They were in jail. And then he rejoiced. He rejoiced having believed in God with all his household. When God takes away your sin, it's an exciting, joyful, thrilling, happy time. With one of the girls being baptized today, she's in her mid late 20s, and she said, you know, she said, I grew up going to church, but she said, I started believing in God, and then I realized I can't live a perfect life. And she said, as I kind of watched some of these Christians, I thought, you know, I can't do it, like, I'm not perfect like they are. And she said, then I came to your church and heard you preach. Literally, she said that. And she said, and I heard you say that you still struggle and you still fail and you still sin. And she said, and I looked at those people and I looked at your wife and I looked at your children and I thought, well, if they can love God and they can serve God, maybe I can too. She's kept coming and she's sitting here today. And some of you today, through maybe a really bad church experience, or maybe there was a Christian, a carnal Christian, somebody that said they believed in God, but that it wasn't evident, and you got a bad taste in your mouth about Christian or Christianity or God or the Word of God, or maybe you grew up in a church where they thumped the Bible and you couldn't chew gum and you had to wear tents every Sunday or whatever. I mean, you know, we know those things. And look, I kind of grew up in that environment.
And I'm not bitter about it. I'm not mad about it. I believe those people, and those people, I love them. We're still brothers and sisters in Christ. But maybe you grew up in a legalism thing where it was like, you know, rules and regulations. You can't, and just Christianity was so tense. And you're like, dude, that was so confusing. And I'm like, I'm out. But then some of you are like, I'm here today and I feel a little bit more comfortable because I've gone to the other extreme, and it was like anything goes. Like, yeah, we're all Christians. It's like the man upstairs, and like, you know, oh, we're all the same. We all got issues, and this is like, yeah. And so you're like, it's hard to balance, isn't it? And so you come into this place and you hear the good news, and I'm just telling you today, when you, here it is. I'll even use an old hymn, and it says this. When you walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still and with all who will trust and obey. So trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Oh, so you want to sing? Okay, let's sing it again. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. It's cheer, it's joy. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 11, you'll see it on the baptism t-shirts, and they're coming. And you're going to see, it says, rise up. And then underneath it, it is this scripture, Romans 8:11, which says, if the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. You know what that's called? Resurrection power. That we believe Jesus died on the cross for our sins. He was buried, but then He rose again. And that is exactly what we're doing here today, is showing you, ladies and gentlemen, that these people were dead and now they have been risen to new life. They were lost and now they're found. They were blind, now they can see. They were hopeless and now they have hope and joy and peace and the comfort of God. And if that is you today, that you say, I need to rise up. I'm going to ask the praise team and the choir and the group one and group two, both all of you, if you'll start making your way to the platform. And we're getting ready to do the baptisms. And kids, you're being so good. Thank you. We're getting ready to get to the exciting part, but I just want to tell you, hold on. I got something very important I've got to share. And before we're going to sing, but I want to do for you what we do every Sunday, and that is give you an invite, and that is an invitation to come and know Christ as your Savior. And I would just ask you to bow your head this morning. We're going to get ready to sing a song, and then we're going to start the stories and the baptisms, and we're excited. But before we shift the focus to everyone else, in this moment, could you just turn your eyes to your own heart and your own life? And if you say, John, I need God's light in my dark life. I need God's hope. I'm weak. I need God's strength. I've got a past. I need God's forgiveness. I want to tell you this morning that Jesus loves you. He died on the cross for you. And if you say, my heart is open. My will is willing. And I want to follow Christ. In this moment, you can. And I'm going to pray a prayer. It's a confession, because the Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Because with the heart, one believes unto salvation. That's on the inside. But with the mouth, confession is made to salvation. You're saying on the outside, I want Christ. And so I'm going to pray a prayer. And we're all going to pray it together. Because for some of you, this is the first time
For some of you, you've prayed this many times, and because you remember when Christ saved you years ago. But if you say, I need to cry out to God, I need to confess, I want to trust with my whole life and my future, Jesus. And the Bible says, if you will repent of your sins, that means to turn from your sin and turn to Christ. And the Bible says that if you will trust in the Lord with all your heart, trust Him to be your Savior, trust Him to be your Lord, then you can be saved. And it's not just, and if you will believe in Him, He will save you today. And so if you would, as an army together, would you just repeat this prayer after me? Dear Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. Please forgive me. I repent of my sins. I am lost. Bring me home. I am broken. Heal me. I am in darkness. Shine your light on me. I am hopeless. Help me. Jesus, give to me your salvation. I believe you died on the cross and were buried and rose again for me. I trust you as my Savior and Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, if you prayed and trusted Christ to be your Lord and Savior today, I've got one more request. When the service is over, find me. Find Pastor Gary. Find a family member. Find your family member that was baptized today or baptized today. And let them know, I'm in. I'm changed. I've given my life to Christ. And you can be baptized soon as well. And so give your life to Christ today. Don't be ashamed of it. Are we singing a song or is the choir singing? Well, why don't you just all stand then this morning and let's sing together.
Let's sing. I was a wretch. I remember who I was. I was lost. I was blind. I was running out of time.
Can you help me take this top off?
Separated, the breach was far too wide. But from the far side of the chasm, you held me in your sight. So you made a way across the great divide.
Left by the way, this floor is waterproof, so we're good.
To build it here inside.
Will come and just kind of stand where the praise team is on the top. Be very careful with plastic, especially if you get that back in place. And then you sit on that first row. Certainly, can all go change quick, come back out, we'll congratulate you guys, but just out there.
You took my place, laid inside my tomb of sin. You were buried for 3 days, but then you walked right out again. And now death has no sting. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood. darkness into glorious light.
Amen. You may be seated.
Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for your resurrection power. Thank you, Lord, that when we think it's curtains, Lord, you're just beginning. And so, Lord, I pray today your blessing, your favor upon these people. Thank you, Lord, for the courage of those that gave their story and their testimony today and followed you in obedience with baptism. We give you glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Love you guys. You're dismissed.